Good evening. My name is Jolisha King, and I just want to thank the leadership team for the opportunity to speak to the women here tonight. And also wanted to thank you guys so much. You guys have helped us to get settled here in Georgia, and whether it be helping with unpacking boxes, whether it be praying for us, helping us with a place to stay or schools for the kids, in every way that you guys have helped us, we so appreciate it. Thank you. Tonight, wanted to share with you about God's Word, where we are going to look at living as Christ. So if you could turn your Bibles, please, we're going to start in Colossians 3. And before we get started into the lesson, I want to start with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much, God, for being awesome and amazing and allowing us the opportunity to be before your throne. God, you, God, are just so compassionate and loving, Father. God, you are very patient with us, God. You, God, are just loving beyond measure, God. We can't even measure the depth and the width of your love, Father. We just thank you so much, God, for allowing us to be here tonight, God, to hear your words, Father. I pray that, God, you just fill me with your spirit. You give me the words to say, Father. But I pray, God, that your words will penetrate hearts, God, and help us to be the women you've called us to be. Father, we love you and we thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask a question tonight. Ladies, what's on your minds? What's on your hearts? You know, a lot of the time, we as women can have so many things on our hearts. We can get bogged down with so many things, like our finances, our health. We can get bogged down on the jobs, worrying about that promotion, you know, worrying about, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but there's a lot of downsizing that's been going on, so you may get some extra tasks to do, but no extra money. And you get a little frustrated about that. And that's always on your mind sometimes when you're walking in the door. those of us who want to get married, those of us that are in school, we're concerned with our grades, our classmates, you know, our teachers. You know, are they going to accept what I'm giving them? You know, we worry about so many things, even in our homes, our families, our marriages, you know, our children. Our parents, just all these relationships that we have. And these things can keep us from setting our minds where they need to be. So I'm going to talk tonight about three things that we need to do, because these are the things that can get us and stop us from being close to God and being the women we need to be for God. So I have three things that I want to talk about. And the first point is setting our hearts and minds on things above. And so we're going to start here in verse 1 through 4. And we're in Colossians 3. And it reads, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So looking at this, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. We can set our hearts on things above. So I'm thinking about that. If I am raised with Christ, that now gives me the ability to set my mind, my heart, on things above. So we think about, what are the things above? Well, we think about heaven. We think about, wow, what do I need to do to get to heaven? What do I need to do to get this coworker to heaven? You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we look at, oh my goodness, the stresses of a job, the stresses of a coworker. But do we look at, man, I want to help my coworker get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. Let me make sure I'm setting my mind and my heart on what's important. Because we can get caught up in the day, and we can get caught up in the routine of what we need to do, but this helps us to see that because we're raised with Christ, that we can do these things. And when you think about heaven, even in the scripture, it says where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Do we even think about that? When we think about heaven, do we look and, wow, Jesus is sitting there. It's not saying he will sit there. It says where he is seated. But we think about my daily schedule. And by the time we get up and we go do our daily routine and the day is over, we thought that was the reality of the day. That's that false sense of reality. The reality is I've got to set my mind on getting to heaven today. Instead of coming out and thinking, I've got to go and do this. I've got to go to this place or this school or this job or this doctor's appointment. And we let it consume us. So in setting our minds and our hearts on things above, we now have to look at, well, what will also help me to do that? Which goes to my next point of put to death and get rid of sin. Let's pick up in verse 5 through 11. And it reads, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, and only here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. There's a lot there, ladies. And you know, at some point in our lives, we have been involved in one or more of these things. And could possibly be now. For me, I'm just coming out the door on my way here. I was like, okay, all right, everybody, we walking out the door. Okay, I already had given the heads up. You know how you give a 5-minute, hey, this is your wake-up call. You know, I kind of gave the warning. And when it's time to go, we're trying to grab shoes, trying to grab coats still. I was struggling. I was like, ugh. Making me angry. And I'm like, I have to stop and say, okay, I go to James, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And I have to say that to myself. And even if I don't say it, it's all on my face. I do not have a poker face. What you see is what you get. So help me, ladies, when you see it, okay? And, you know, and it's just, it happens. And what we have to do is, it says we have to get rid of these things. And that's not easy when you're in the middle of it. That can be very difficult. And it just talks about even greed. And I looked up greed, and greed is a selfish and intense desire. Wanting something when it's not needed. I was like, ooh, because I always thought I put greedy on, like, okay, somebody greedy for more money only. But it's for anything that you have that desire for when there's not a need for it. But it's a selfish and intense desire. I said, uh-oh, I'm greedy. I mean, I love food. You know, you know, if there's a sale or something, Bath and Body Works, they have those little lotions on sale. I'm like, okay, I want by 5, you know. I can be like that. And am I even thinking about, okay, am I really in a position to do this? But that sale, that's my own desire. That's my selfish desire. I don't even think about what else I need to take care of. But these are just some things, ladies, I wanted to share about me. But I want you guys to think about, what are these things for you? What are they for you? Are you selfish? Is that shown in the home? Is that shown at the job? Is it the anger shown? Do your kids see that? Does your spouse see that? So I want us to think about these things. I want us to think about and even have your own plan from tonight. I need to set my mind and my heart on heaven. And I need to think about what heaven is for me and what heaven is for those around me. And then I also need to look at what do I need to put to death and what do I need to get rid of? Because once we do those, ladies, then we can get to the point where, my third point, we can clothe ourselves with Christ. So we are going to pick up here in verse 12 through 14. It says, therefore, as chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And now, when we're at that point where we have set our minds and our hearts on things above, we've put to death and we've gotten rid of sin. At that point, ladies, that is the point where you won't see black, you won't see white, you won't see Asian, you won't see Hispanic. You can't see any of that once you've done those things. And that's what the scripture was saying when it says here, only here, after you've gotten rid of your sins and you've set your heart and your mind on things above, that there's no Gentile or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised. And then it also talks about, I want to talk about the way we clothe ourselves, ladies. Now, we want to look good. We go out, we try to, you know, have on the latest fashion. And when we get our hair done, I don't know about y'all, I'm talking about me, so let me know if you can relate. But if I get the hair done, I'm going to put on a little extra lipstick. I'm going to do a little extra. I'm going to make sure if I got a new outfit, you know, I got to make sure that, you know, I got the right shoes with it. Got a little stride, a little pep to my walk. You know, it's a little different. But that's what I'm feeling good about, how I'm clothed. And I try to go out and present myself that way. But what I'm talking about tonight, ladies, is I'm talking about how we clothe the inside. Because I'm thinking about 1 Peter 3. The Bible says that our beauty doesn't come from that outward adornment. It comes from that inner beauty because of a gentle and quiet spirit. And when the Bible talks about clothing ourselves with compassion and gentleness and humility and patience, this isn't something that we do. It's something we're called to be. So we can't act compassionate. We have to be compassionate. We can't act gentle. We can't act humble. We have to be these things. That's why Jesus gives us Beatitudes. Because we get caught up in what we do versus who we are. There's one of the leaders in Jacksonville used to always say, and it has always stuck with me, be who you say you are. I have to say that again. Be who you say you are. Because it's easy to do things, but are you that? Are you that follower of Jesus? Are you living as Christ? And I want to look at some examples of how Jesus gave us great examples of being compassionate. And one of the scriptures I wanted to turn to is Matthew 15:32. And this is where Jesus had great compassion And he called his disciples to him, and he said, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Do we think of people that way? Do we really feel compassion for them? You know, we've gotten a lot of emails about people getting sick, and there's just so much going on. Surgeries and hospitalization, there's just so much going on. Even looking at the news, it's just so much going on. I don't know if you guys even heard, right before coming here, I-75 was backed up because a trooper got shot. It was a chase, and he got shot, and they just shut down 75 South. But I think about his family, his wife, what she must be feeling. And I have to imagine, how would I feel if that was my husband out there trying to protect everyone, and he's shot, and I'm finding out, and he's at the hospital. I can't imagine. But do we look at it and say, oh, man, I hate that happened. Okay, what we need to do now? And just move on. But do we stop and pray? Do we really feel compassion? Let's look at Jesus' example of kindness in Luke 6, 35. Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now, being kind to someone who is ungrateful and being wicked, that's hard to do. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm being mean. And oh, and now I've used this word with my kid. You're being ungrateful. And when I look like that, it's like I have to take a moment. I got to step back and be slow to anger. But the Bible says Jesus is kind when somebody is being ungrateful, when they're being wicked. When somebody's being wicked towards you, your first instinct is not to be kind. Let's just be honest. But Jesus is, and that's what he's calling us to be. So you see why you can't act that way? I can't act, because I'm just imagining somebody being wicked towards me and me trying to keep a straight face and say, okay. It's we have to pray, ladies, to be able to be like him. Not to act like him, because we can act when we need to act. But to be like him. And it says he can be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Let's look at his humility. Let's look at Philippians 2, 6 through 8. It says, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Ladies, it says, he in the very nature is God. And he did not consider equality with him. We're talking about Jesus in an instance where he could have called the angels. But do we really believe that? Do we realize that's the power of Jesus? And do we realize that we have that power too, because we were raised with him? He says, once we set our minds and set our hearts, We can be these things. We just have to clothe ourselves with it. And it says that he humbled himself. So he didn't think he was all that. He did not. He did not act that way. He was okay with being last. He was okay with not having equality with his father, even though all authority had been given to him. He still didn't even consider equality with God. And it says he humbled himself. Ladies, you want to humble yourselves and not have to be humbled by the Lord. And when he uses people to help you, he's saying, be humble. He needed his dad. He would go and pray when he struggled. How much more do we need to do that? But do we try to go on our own strength? Do we go ahead and worry? Why worry when we can pray? But that's humbling ourselves. He humbled himself. What an example. Ladies, I also want us to look at his gentleness in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's saying here, I already know you're weary. I know you get burdened. It's something we go through. It's something we feel. So when someone's asking how you doing, I'd be concerned if each time you say, I'm good. I'm doing good. If I never hear, hey, I'm getting a little weary. I'm getting tired. We want to be real. Let's be real with how we feel. Because he knows. He's saying that. He says, you know, come to me. I know you're weary and you're burdened. He says, I will give you rest for your souls. He can give us that because we can be restless. And we need him. And he said also, when we do that, to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We need to learn from him because he says he's what? He's gentle and humble. In heart, which goes back to point one. Set your mind and your heart on things above. How he's seated right there at the right hand. Why is he seated there? Because he's humble in heart. He's gentle. We by nature are not that way. I know I'm not. I am so not the most gentle. Even in my voice, God is helping me to be gentle in my tone because I'm not always gentle in my tone. The biggest thing my husband may say to me, did you have to say it that way? I'm like, uh-oh. How did I say it? Because I can't recognize it even all the time. And I was like, you got to tell me because I don't even know. And I apologize and try it again. I said, okay. Amen. And he says, once you do this, then you find rest for your souls. And that's when that yoke becomes easy and no longer weary and burdensome. And guys, not just my husband sees that. My children see that too. And I asked him, I said, you got to help mama, because mama trying not to be angry. I said, I really need some help. And I said, if my voice get elevated or if I get to yelling, respectfully help mama. Tell me. You should see them. They're so funny. They say, Ma, you know, your voice getting a little bit high. Because they'll be trying to say it nicely to me. And I say, okay, all right, thank you. Thank you for helping me, because you know I'm trying not to do that. Now, if they're doing something, because it's been an instance where I've had to say things three times. I said, okay, now, because it was one instance, my, your voice getting a little louder. I said, okay, thank you for helping me. Let's look at this. Why am I yelling? Did I tell you to do something three times? Yes. So let me ask you, did I yell that first time? No. I said, so when did I start yelling? Like the second time? Yeah, you got a little louder the second, and that third time you were loud. I said, okay, so Mom needs you to help. That means when I tell you to do something, I need you to do it the first time. Help me out so I don't get in trouble. They were like, okay. I said, and if I have to say it a second and third time, instead of yelling, you need a spanking. They were like, you can keep yelling. I said, no. I said, no. So pray for me. Okay, my last point in being like Jesus, patience. And we're going to look at, well, it's not a point, it's part of our clothing, but let's look at Jesus' example of patience. Matthew 18:26. And Jesus is telling this parable about the unmerciful servant. It's Matthew 18:26. And Jesus talks about this unmerciful servant and how the servant fell on his knees before his master, and he begged. He said, be patient with me. I'll pay back everything. I'll pay back everything. And my question is, would you take pity and cancel the debt the same way this servant's master did? What he asked of his master was, be patient with me. Because his intention was to pay back what he owed. And now he could have responded, no, I paid you the money, you know, and I gave it to you, and you knew when it was due, and you didn't have it. You know, he could have put him in jail, but he didn't do that. He canceled the debt. And you know, the fact that he even asked, be patient with me. Like, please be patient with me. Would we be patient? Would we accept that? Or we'd be like, no, I'm not going to be lending that. And there's a scripture that I read earlier that said, you know, lend the money and expect nothing in return. That's kindness that we just looked at in Luke 6. So when we're lending, he's telling us the kind of heart we need to have if we're truly being kind. Then we can also be patient. Now, let's say the agreement was made to get it back. There should still be patience. Because God is patient with us. Does he not? Did he not cancel? And does he not cancel the debts? He just does. He is so forgiving. Like we read in the scripture, he's saying we need to forgive the same way we were forgiven. We just read that. It says we also need to bear with one another. God already knows we're going to hurt each other and we're going to mess up with each other. That's why he says you have to bear with one another. He don't just say, oh, y'all, just get along. He said bear with each other because you're going to hurt each other. You're going to mess up. I'm the only perfect one, Jesus said. I'm the only one. He's the only one who's perfect. We are not. But if we are imitating him, it helps us with how to handle that. And you know, ladies, we can tend to forgive and be patient and be kind and be humble outside the home before we do that inside. I know I can be guilty of that. I'm like, oh, y'all left the dishes in here. You know, I'm mad. I'm like, ugh. And I could ask my husband or ask the kids, what do you think about this or that? And they might tell me, and I'd be like, oh, okay. Then I might go ask somebody else outside the house, and they might say the same thing. I'm like, oh, thank you. That was very helpful. It was the same thing he said. But I missed it there, but I was all in tune and ready to listen over here. So we need to show that kindness. We need to show that gentleness, that humility, and patience in the home first. And then we need to take that outside the home. Amen. So, ladies, when we put on these clothes, not only are we beautiful on the inside, but that's what makes us beautiful on the outside as well. So there's nothing wrong with the new clothes or the hairdo. That's great. But that won't mean anything if we haven't clothed the inside the way we need to clothe it. And really trust God. And really allow this to penetrate your hearts. Let's not look at it as, okay, all right, I'm going to go read over that and I'm going to do that. But no, have a plan, ladies. Look at how you can set your heart and your minds on things above. Think about heaven. Think about how Jesus is at the right hand. Think about that coworker. And don't get confused with her garments on the outside versus her garments on the inside. Because we can do that. So you may have a coworker or a classmate that's hurting bad. They need a friend. But they're not going to say it to you. And if you're not kind and patient and gentle, she's not going to say it to you. She will not. But if she sees you being this way, she may tell you. It's on their faces. You can see it in their eyes, but you've got to look at them. You've got to give them attention. You can't worry about, well, what is she going to say? What if she's wicked and ungrateful that I'm trying to give her an invitation? That's okay, because how did Jesus respond to the wicked and the ungrateful? He was kind. Still be kind to them. Even if they don't, if they're being mean to you, because you are extending them an invitation they don't even understand. They don't know what you're extending to them. It's so funny. I can tell you about when I was a baby Christian, and I love sharing my faith, and I had this quiet time and about just, you know, sharing about Jesus and inviting someone to church. And I had come up with this analogy for myself. And it was really cold, and I was here in Atlanta. So this was in 97 when I was converted. And I was downtown, and it was those buildings. Boy, I don't know how many of you guys go downtown when it's cold, but that wind in between those buildings, it was cold. So I was like, you know, I love cream of wheat, hot bowl of cream of wheat. And I had this analogy, it's so cold. And if I have this hot bowl of cream of wheat, why wouldn't I share it with someone? They're over here freezing, hungry, and I've got this hot bowl of cream of wheat. Why wouldn't I share that? And as a baby, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to share my cream of wheat. You know, I'm going to share and invite people out and share what I have. I was so excited. And it was so funny because one of the women in the ministry, she said, oh, I love how this baby just, how she's so excited about sharing her faith. Because, you know, I was just a couple of days old, but I was like, I was fired up about helping as many people as I could. I want them to know what I know. You guys remember that feeling? Oh, I got to tell my family. I can't wait to tell people what I've learned. Where's that, ladies? When you set your mind and your hearts on things above, that's where you'll be. You'll be excited about that. You'll see that people need Jesus. You'll see that we need to be so much more like him, and they'll want the same thing. Ladies, so if we fully clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and then, of course, bind them all together with love, then we can be the women that God has called us to be. Now, that doesn't mean clothe yourselves with just a little bit, or, okay, I'm going to put on a little patience today, but I don't know about that gentleness today. I was trying to be kind, but y'all just don't know that degree of wickedness. You know, we can't do that. Do you put on one sock? Or are you fully clothed? Let's be fully clothed, ladies. Now, once we do that, then we have that wardrobe that we need inside so we can be the women that we've been called to be. So in closing, ladies, if we set our hearts and minds on things above, if we put to death and get rid of sin, and if we clothe ourselves with Christ, then we can be the women that God has created us to be. Thank you.